Welcome back to another episode of Masked Monologues. Today, I have with me Bryn Allison, and she is a musician, a singer-songwriter. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself, how long you've been in the music scene for, and what inspires you?
Oh, what a great question. Hey, y'all. Thank you so much for having me. First of all, I'm really excited to be here. I haven't done a podcast in a few years, and the last one was with one of my very best friends who I met through theater school, which I guess, shout out Madison, first of all, Women with Words. But also, I think that's a kind of good introduction into who I am. I am originally born and raised in the Midwest, and I just moved out to LA about 6 months ago. And I actually have been writing for quite a long time. I'm only 23 now, but I started writing as soon as I picked up the guitar when I was 13 or 14. And I largely have a really big theater background. That's what my degree is in. That's what I grew up doing. That was my only outlet for performance for a really long time. And growing up, I would go to open mics here and there. But because of the not only small town vibes, but like how sheltered I was between being in that small town and being raised very religious, didn't put myself out there personally as much. I think theater is a really great, really beautiful art. And in no way do I want to compare it to being a singer-songwriter, but I think I was just crying to my roommate last week that they're just so different and taxing in different ways. And in theater, it's so much easier to just get up there and play a character and do the dialogue that you do 8 nights a week, do the songs and dance that you do 8 nights a week. But this is such a different ballgame because it is so personal. It's so vulnerable and I carry it differently, even though it's both performance at the end of the day. They hit very different places in my life. And so even though I think someone might look at me and go, oh, you've been an entertainer for most of your life, being on stage just as Brynny is still very quite new to me, to be honest with you. So when I moved to LA in late winter of last year, I really hit the ground running with these open mics and with collaborating with as many people as I could. And now I'm out here playing shows every week. It's a dream come true and making 2 records and I'm just so grateful. So yeah, that's the gist of me.
No, I love that. So you said that you started off with theater and in theater, you said you immersed yourself in this community where you portrayed yourself as a different character, where you were taking someone else's personality on. But when it came to singing, songwriting, your own work, then you had to be vulnerable and put yourself forward. What would you say were the biggest differences starting out when it comes to performances? Did you, for example, did you address the audience in a different way? How did that change for you?
Oh, that's such a good question. Yeah. So I have a theater and a pageantry background, which very much isn't you address the audience, right? Kind of mythical thing is like you want to leave giving the audience a feeling, but it's not like talking to them unless you're breaking the fourth wall. Right. You know, you have little bits in between these chunks when you're a singer-songwriter of like, you need to tune your guitar or change your capo, or like give some backstory. And I think where I see the two things intersect most of the time is in the storytelling, right? So I come from the theater world. My degree was actually not in performance. It was in directing. And what I loved about directing and it drew me to directing was almost the exact same thing that drew me to songwriting, was that it's world building and it's storytelling at the end of the day. And even though they take on these two kind of different vessels of I might be creating the world of Alice in Wonderland, for me, I get to create, when I'm doing my own music, this personal Alice in Wonderland scape. Mm-hmm. I mentioned earlier, I was like really raised in the church. The record that I'm working on right now in my head has all taken place in this metaphorical Garden of Eden that I would be stuck and what choices I would have to make and what fruit I would have to eat to break out of there and change my humanity. I'm really interested in, I think I just, in both of those things, both in songwriting and storytelling and theater, I always try to lead with curiosity. I always try to lead with questions because I always find that people are a lot more complex than we give them credit for. And I'm really curious about, in a world where I was raised to be very, things were very black and white, I'm interested in human as for, I'm interested in those gray spaces.
No, that's wonderful. I love how you're not afraid to put yourself out there and just be uniquely yourself. You were saying that when you're in theater, you don't address the audience, they're just there. But when it comes to being a musical artist, you have to tell more of that story. You've got to build that relationship with your fans, with your followers. How do you go about building that relationship? Because I guess coming from a theater background, you've never had to do that before.
Yeah. And you know what? Isn't that something I'm trying to learn right now? It's so funny that you asked me that. I don't know if anyone, if you know, or if anyone listening knows Chapel Roan, but she's a fellow Midwest girl who has just blown up this year. My friend Grace introduced me to her quite a few years ago during the pandemic. She was putting out records. She got dropped from her record label and then she is back out. She just did Coachella. I saw her on her tour for her debut album. I just love her. And I think something that she and I both have in common is we're very inspired by drag culture. Like I'm queer and I grew up in the queer communities. And of course, like love RuPaul's Drag Race, loved my first experiences going to the gay bars when I was a young person coming to Hollywood for the first time. And I think like, as much as want to say that Chapel has said that Chapel is her drag project, and I don't want to ever take that from her, but I think it's really interesting to dig into how women often and queer people often have to create a persona on stage to protect themselves both physically and emotionally, right? Yeah. And I'm running into that all the time of I'm up there sharing the most vulnerable parts of myself, right? Mm-hmm. I'm off stage or I come on social media and it's time to cultivate and build those relationships. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes, like with artists, it's never as hard to level with them, but you do have to create some personal boundaries with complete strangers, yeah, as well as give them the opportunity to tell you what your art means to them. Mm-hmm. So influence, and I'm trying to work on it every day. And I feel like I'm talking to female queer artists about it all the time of like, yeah, how do you, Chapel Roan's just obviously like a huge inspiration to me within that regard of like, you got to protect your peace, but you also got to make the art that you know in your soul you have to make, right?
Yes. No, that's just an amazing story and it's inspirational. You were saying that, does your audience ever expect a certain personality from you? Do they expect you to be like Bryn Allison? Do they expect this type of, maybe it's funny, maybe it's charismatic, maybe it's whatever your personality artist profile is? And do you feel like you have to put on this mask when you step on stage and you just become this other person? Or is your artist profile, the image you have for your music, closely aligned with your personality? Because I know some artists will be introverted. They won't talk to anyone. They'll just write in the room. But the second they're on stage, they'll just turn into this social creature. And it's just so ironic to see that transformation.
Yeah. I mean, I would say, I would like to believe that the me who's on stage is very close to the me in real life. And I think that probably like my friends who come to shows would say that it's pretty close. Like I'm still telling the same stories. There's a song that I have called Idols that I posted on my Instagram. I've posted little snippets of. I haven't gotten a chance to record it yet. But basically the story behind that is I had just moved to LA and I've met some of my heroes in the last years that I never thought I would have the chance to meet, especially not as someone who called themselves a writer yet. It took me a long time to get to the point where I felt like I was a writer. And I was walking down the street and going to a concert like alone in Hollywood, which is so out of character for me, just from even like a safety standpoint. I was going alone. I was walking down the street to a concert and I really thought I had met all like the big heroes that would like freak me out, right? Mm-hmm. Just meet in person and saying that I'm a writer. I saw this like a girl from American Idol when I was 12, yes, standing on the side of the street, being a person, being human, out in the wild, out and about in LA. Mm-hmm. And I found out I could not say anything to her. And I'm not that kind of person. I'm, especially since moving here, pretty always willing to just be like, hey, I'm a really big fan. I don't want to bother you. I'm also a writer. You really inspire me. And have that be the conversation. I could not say anything to her. And so I think the difference in we're asking the difference between like my stage persona and my personal life, that's the story I tell as my stage persona, right? That's the story you're getting. That's the story that people I play the song for get.
Mm-hmm.
What you're not hearing is the three separate group texts of my friends who heard me catastrophizing about it for 5 days up to the song being written. Fucking idiot. Like, I just should have said this and I should have done this. And the like, I don't think it's necessarily that people put pressure on me to be Bryn Allison as much as I put pressure on me to be Bryn Allison, which again, it's you got to work on the balance every day, trying to be an artist, making the art you have to make and yourself.
Yeah. With that being said, I want to know, when it comes to music production, songwriting, do you have this pressure that your music has to meet a certain standard or that it's not perfect? Maybe you need to redo that vocal take, and how many times you usually redo vocal takes until you're okay with it and you think, this is good, it's good enough, or I want to rewrite that verse, or that chorus isn't hooky enough.
Yeah. Every record that I've made, so I only have two records out right now, and I'm in the process of making two, has been a completely different situation start to finish. So the first record I made when I was very young, and I was just coming into it, learning how it is. And then my second record I made, I started making my senior year of high school, and I made it into my freshman year of college, which was the year of our Lord, 2019. So I was like getting thrown around with all these different like phenomenal co-writers and meeting people, and it was wonderful. And then at the end of my freshman year of college, a global pandemic happened, and I lost people that I loved, and I really took it hard. And I quite honestly stepped away from music for a good amount of time to not only grieve the people and the life that I had lost, but to figure out if this was even something that I wanted to do altogether, both as artist and as a singer-songwriter. I think it's really easy to get burnt out. You can't, this is like the biggest thing I've learned in my career is like, you cannot be an artist if you are not a human first. Mm-hmm. And I had that lesson had been punching me over and over again in the face. And eventually you just got to learn it and take it. And God, I don't know where I was going with this. We're having such a good conversation. I'm really getting into it. I don't know. I think it's hard to not put pressure on yourself and to not want to have something be perfect. But I think something that I learned in theater is that we in theater often don't look as obstacles, but rather opportunities. So if there's ever a time when I don't feel like my writing was as strong as it could have been, or this or that take could have been better, I'm always like, the next record I make is going to be better anyway. Just because that's the nature of growing and things about yourself and learning new things about what you sound like and what you're trying to put out into the world. Because I come from theater, all of the records that I've made and the ones that I've continued to make will always have a theatery arc to them. They'll always be a start as a concept album because I love musicals. But and as far as like the writing goes, once I go into the studio, most of the writing is done. And then 2 years later, I find myself going, oh, I should have said this, but I shouldn't do that, because what I saw at the time was the most authentic version of the music that I was making. Mm-hmm. And for as hard as on myself as I am about those things, I really value looking to my younger self, looking to myself as a teenager, as an early college student, even to myself now, like giving myself grace of making a record I'm making now, of this was the most true and the most brave thing that you could have said at the time you were experiencing. Mm-hmm. And making peace with that.
It's so easy to critique your younger self when you know more. And looking back, when you look back and you think, oh, I could have done this better, I could have done this. But that's knowing what you know now. It's not what you knew then. So even just going easy on your past self is something that you have to do. I want to get into the technicalities of your writing, just because we've spoken a lot about your artist profile, and I just want to know how your writing process goes. I'm just genuinely interested. Are you someone who writes every day and sticks to this like routine writing as often as possible, or do you write when inspiration strikes you, or how do you formulate a song?
Yeah. Songwriting is magical. It's like the most obscure, like crazy process to me. And I always do feel like I black out a little bit when it happens, when like I really can make a song be an idea to the actual format of it being done. It's different every time, but I do write every day. And what really kickstarted that for me is not the pressure to write a song every day, but just to write your ideas every day. And what kickstarted that for me was The Artist's Way. Do you know The Artist's Way?
No, I haven't heard of that. The Artist's Way?
Yeah. A friend of a friend told me about it. It's a book that's set up like a 16-week course. And I'm someone mm-hmm. who like, loved academic structuring and sucked mm-hmm. at academics. So this was like really up my alley. Mm-hmm. And the book, and there are two main methods that the author uses to get you to like really be in touch with your creativity. And the first one is the artist state, which is like, God, we were just talking about like you have to forgive your past self for not knowing mm-hmm. better. It's the idea of an artist state is to block out an hour of time a week where mm-hmm. you spend fostering your creative self. But this isn't like a performance date. This isn't like a, I'm going to go do, this is like, I'm going to spend an hour in my backyard photographing the most beautiful flowers because that's good mm-hmm. for my artist right now. I'm going to go walk around a museum. I'm going to go to a flea market. Mm-hmm. And it's just getting out of your brain, getting out of your house and trying to be creative mm-hmm. and the world in a more brave and creative lens. And morning pages, which is exactly what it sounds like. You wake up in the morning and you journal 3 pages, I think mm-hmm. is what it is. That's about what I'm to now. I'm like in the 3 to 5 region. Okay. I'm crazy. It's just waking up and putting all your to-do lists and your hopes and your dreams and your fears on those pages. Mm-hmm. So the idea is that what's standing between you and your creativity are all of those things. And yes. like to get through that block is like such a helpful thing that like I can't not stick to it now. I run it about a year ago now. Yeah. And it truly changed my life into making writing every day, even if it's not a creative process, even if it's really shit, even mm-hmm. if it's the dream I had last night and what I ate for lunch and the laundry I need to do. That yes. is good because it's still creation, right? Mm-hmm. And I think as creatives, sometimes we can get so down on ourselves mm-hmm. for all the work we producing not being good, but a large part of that is letting that whole bullshit go and just creating every day no matter what.
Yes. No, that's amazing. Just opening up that journal, doing your morning pages. I'm curious, when it comes to journaling, I feel as though there's a different way that songwriters or even poets write as opposed to someone who would write a couple paragraphs of just normal journal entry writing. Do you tend to do like a paragraph, 2 paragraphs, 3 paragraphs, 3 pages of journal writing, or is it more in the verse form?
I am literally the most dramatic person I know. And it does do me well in the songwriting and theatrical world, mm-hmm. but it is something that can be very harmful to my personal life. And so writing, honestly, this is going to sound crazy, but my most delusional thoughts on the page, just so I can get them out and not stress over them. There's just a lot of anxiety that I just deal with as a person, not even talking about getting into this, which is honestly, even after 10 years of doing the singer-songwriter thing and, I don't know, 15 years of doing theater, I still deal with stage fright every single day. I never want to get up there. On the way to the bed, every single time, I'm thinking I should just go home and go to bed. And so I think just literal brain dump, I would say it's almost more kind of paragraphy, but some days it's to-do lists and some days it's poetry. And I gave myself that freedom to not be like, dear diary, today I ate this breakfast and then I got up and did this and went to work, played this gig, and here are the people I met. I used to do that very early on in my morning pages journey. There was a format I had to stick to. And just giving myself that freedom has been so freeing, not only personally, but then like when I can create things that I'm passionate about within my writing, it gives me that freedom for it. Maybe not to look the way that it's looked for years. Maybe this is the song that changes the format on how I write. Yeah. I always tell a lot of my friends that my writing process is like Franken songs, right? Mm-hmm. Like I have a verse here and a chorus here and a bridge here. And they could just be sitting in my notes app or in my journal for a year before I know that they're supposed to belong together. But when the muse like takes your hand, you just got to go for it.
Yes. So I just wanted to say that I was looking through your Instagram account and I loved the cover you did with Carly Rae Jepsen. I think it was Driving You All Night. That was so well executed. I just loved, like, because I listened to the song, her version of it, and I just like how your version was a more of a belty song type deal. It was just different. And I love that. How do you go on putting your own spin to music?
Yeah. So that song was Run Away With Me by Carly Jepsen, which is like off of one of my favorite records of all time. I love Carly Rae Jepsen and Katy Perry and Avril Lavigne. A lot of these artists that I mentioned specifically gave me freedom to be a little cheeky in my writing. Yeah. I grew up in a very conservative, religious, I went to Catholic school. I was homeschooled for part of my youth. Like, yeah. There was a very kind of like stick to ways. Right. And so I always love female artists who are a little more edgy, a little more tongue-in-cheek about things. And then on the flip side, I like grew up in the bluegrass music and folk world. And so I had this like brutal honesty from these young bluegrass and folk singers, right? Who can just produce like the depths of this guttural emotion. And then these Carly Rae Jepsen, these Katy Perrys, these Avril Lavigne's that said what I was actually thinking, but no one had given me permission to think or say out loud yet. And so like through that, I felt like I got a lot of honesty from learning lessons from them being songwriters. I just studied it lyrically back to front. And I think when it comes to something like Carly Rae Jepsen or even like Taylor Swift, doing songs that I loved when I was 13 serves me well every single time. Because that's like connecting with my younger self who wanted to do music in the first place. And at the time, I thought that was going to look a lot different. But that was like a piano cover I found on YouTube that in key as like the original song was in. But I like watch musical theater people do that all the time with not only, oh my gosh. Growing up in musical theater, I often saw cabaret pieces where people would do that for auditions with pop cuts, or they would do a song from a musical with the 80s that was had more contemporary feel. So I do draw a lot of inspiration from like my musical theater heroes who I saw do that all the time and saw it work for them. And then when I was like graduating high school, I did a senior recital, and it was the first time like I got to choose the book that I would be performing. All my favorite Carole King songs and all my favorite songs from musical theater. And then I did my original songs at the end. And I think genre is often a box we could feel really stuck in. And I don't want to limit myself. So I was at the stage of my career where every country bluegrass producer was a pop producer people were saying I was too theater for pop. And then the theater tell me I would be a great country artist. Like
it was just all over the place.
Exactly. And it's just like, that's not a battle I want to fight because I just want to make art. So God, I keep going back to freedom, but yeah, I don't know.
Yes. So I just want to ask, the growing up in this pious community where everyone was religious and you gravitated more towards edgy artists, were you ever hesitant to do that at first? Did you ever think about what the people who knew you back in your hometown would think about it? Or was there this barrier?
Absolutely. And also the people in my hometown are my biggest supporters and they come through for me constantly. When you're from somewhere that is a small town that is very conservative or very religious, there's oftentimes like a kind of a don't ask, don't tell about all of it, right? Which is positive and negative, right? I've been out of the closet for years now, and I'm very public about that on social media. I'm very public about that with my friends and family. And there's just a look the other way. You want to include the people that you love in your life because you love them. You want them to know you. And of course, it like sucks when I put out music about being queer, like the next record that I'm making, or that if I put out something about like maybe leaving the church, that maybe won't be like as positively received. But there's also this, hey, she's doing the thing she said she was going to do when she was 12 or 13. And that unwavering support 9 times out of 10 will overweigh the quote unquote controversy of what I might be singing about, of the intricacies of what I might be singing about. I also think there's this very blanketed poeticism about the music I write that is, I said earlier, I'm trying to make this record that takes place in the metaphorical Garden of Eden, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And when it's wrapped up not in saying fuck you, when it's wrapped up mm-hmm. in a poetic way that's like feeling trapped in a garden and not mm-hmm. able to escape, and like that feeling as claustrophobic as it does a place to run free and explore yourself. I'm always, I think, very thankful for writing. When I was 18, I wrote a song called Judas that's going to be on the next record. And the first group of people that I played it for was my religious youth ministry group on a mm-hmm. mission. And they loved it. We were like mm-hmm. sitting outside the steps of a church, and I was singing about the guy who betrayed Jesus and my questions that I would have for him if I could sit down at a dinner table with him. And I think more than feeling like you're doing something wrong, young people are invested in honesty, especially with the rise of social media, right? Mm-hmm. That all we're grappling onto is people in our lives who feel honest, who feel real, who feel like connected. And something really magical happened then and now that I just feel very appreciative of, which is I have grown and the people who have supported my music have grown with me. Mm-hmm. And even though I'm not who I was when I was 17 or 20, they understand who I am now, and the things that I might be trying to say now are different because I was young when I started.
Yes. No, that is amazing. I love everything you said there. On that note, I'd like to wrap up this podcast episode. So if you'd like to shout out to your social media channels, maybe you have a website link or your Spotify account, then feel free to.
Yeah. So I'm on Instagram and the TikTok at Bryn Allison Music. That's BRYNALISON. You can shoot me a message. I'd love to say hey. And if you're someone in LA, if you're someone who wants to make music, I'm always looking for collaborators. And if you want to listen to the stuff I have out now, it's also under Bryn Allison. But y'all can call me Brynny. That's who I am as a person. And I think as much as we've talked about honesty today, I want people to know that I'm not a performance. I'm not a sparkle. As much as I do love the sparkles, I get up on stage and I'm very glittery. That's not me. I hope that the person you get when I walk off stage is Brynny. You can find me on the socials or listen to my music. That'd be awesome. Thanks, guys.
Yes, thank you so much for coming on to this podcast. I want to thank everyone who's listening. If you like this podcast and you want more episodes, then please feel free to share it with a friend or family member. Thank you so much.